I was reading in the book of St. John, the Gospel of St. John, chapter 4, which is the famous chapter of the Samaritan woman. So this is the conversation that happened between this woman and our Lord. Our Lord was going from Judea to Galilee, and he did not avoid passing through Samaria, which was the usual Jewish practice to avoid contact, absolutely had no contact with the Samaritans. So this Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus was there by this well of Jacob at this place called Sychar. Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself but his disciples who baptized. He left Judea and started back to Galilee. And the thing that moves me a lot here is that Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, he was so tired because of his journeying that he had to sit by that well. It was about noon. And this woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. And the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" And I think this is like the conversation between God and man. We usually put up obstacles to God from our outright sinning to invented and sometimes even maybe well-intentioned ideas we may have about ourselves, from committing mortal sins, offending you, Lord, outrightly, directly, immediately. But there are some, and thanks be to God, and thanks be to you, Lord, that we do not have mortal sins. But if the devil cannot get us to commit mortal sins, he could achieve the purpose of mortal sins without getting us to commit mortal sin. He troubles us. He likes to trouble our conscience with scrupulosity. He likes to trouble our thoughts as being unworthy of God, undeserving, that we should lose hope, that we should be far. Why will we go to God when we have offended Him? God will not listen to you. Our conscience or our mind may tell us, but those are hailing from the devil. So he'll get us worried, so worried that we just don't pray. And if we pray, we're so distracted, focusing on ourselves. We're so concerned with our things, our troubles, and we resist even the slightest idea of salvation. So this woman was telling our Lord, as the world, as any one of us would tell Jesus, "You are God." This woman knew that she has been afar from God, as later the story would unfold. "Why do you ask for me? You're a Jew." I am a woman of Samaria. You should not ask me. You should not, or I should not even listen to you. The coming of Jesus Christ is something like this, as John says in the first part, in the prologue. God came, no, the light, and still man insists on going to darkness. And Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. It struck me so much because this is Bethlehem. If you knew the gift of God, Herod did not want to recognize this gift. Many people, the scholars of Israel, the Pharisees, the scribes, the students of the Old Testament, the scholars, only these wise men from the East knew that this was a great gift that we have here in the infant Jesus, recently born of the Blessed Virgin Mary. If you knew the gift of God, he is telling you also this, my sister and myself. He's telling us, if you knew the gift of God, we shouldn't waste this gift. First, we should realize that it is a gift. God sending his only begotten Son in the form of a baby. That's why, I don't know, there's this, in the first reading, I don't know what mass now, of the vigil mass or the day of the day of Christmas, or midnight mass, the first reading tells us about a son is given to us. When married couples start having children, it really changes their lives. They have to forget themselves and think of a new creature. The tragedy of abortion in its, you know, seed form can also plague us. We look at a baby not as a gift. We concentrate on the crime we commit and blame the baby. Just kill the baby. Begun with that baby. Forget having our Lord here. It's troublesome. This is extra. This is not found in the Bible. Or this is... So we try to do away with the gift. The tragedy of contraception. This contraceptive mentality. No, began with the gift. We resist visiting the Blessed Sacrament. We resist kissing the child Jesus, or bowing to the child Jesus, or going to his presence like a child would. There's so many videos in TikTok or Instagram about animals, you know. I just saw one. It's called Kung Fu between a cat and a dog. So practically, the climax of that video, short video, is this dog kicking the cat. But that's very rare. Other videos are, you know, they make friends, they cuddle up to each other. You know, a man and a tiger, a lion with a dog. You know. They appreciate the other. Children do not have these biases. Do we have any? as people in Spain when I was there many years ago. Well, from what I heard, no, with Christmas, the coming of the baby, and they will ask questions like, huh, should I concern myself with that kind of Christmas? Will that solve my problem? Will that pay for the mortgage? Will I lose weight with this gift that you're talking about, that Christmas is? Will it bring back the money the thief stole from me? You know, all these kinds of considerations were shocking to my ears, you know. Of course, those are very important concerns, but as Jesus told that Samaritan woman, if you just knew the gift of God, O come Holy Spirit, O Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph, share with me more appreciation of this gift. That it is a gift. That this is the one that was sent or promised by God after the first fall. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. That seed is the Redeemer. And this will bring me salvation. In this psalm, which I read Psalm 90, depending what edition you have. It could also be called Psalm 91. It says, He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High and abides in the shade of the Almighty says to the Lord, My refuge, my stronghold, my God in whom I trust. And this refers to Jesus. It is He who will free you from the snare of the fowler who seeks to destroy you. The snares. There's so many snares we got trapped into. Our anger, our loss of balance and equanimity, our sense of being cheated, dealt unfairly, and we want to retaliate. When we can just simply forgive, you know. He will conceal you with His pinions, and under His wings you will find refuge. Astonishing, you know? This infant will conceal you with His pinions, and under His wings you will find refuge. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the plague that prowls in the darkness, nor the scourge that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 fall at your right. You, it will never approach. His faithfulness is buckler and shield. Jesus dropped into our history to give us this protection from the devil. Before He came, we provided turkey shoot, no, for the devil. We were fair game. Easy targets. We were enslaved by the devil. It's a gift. But we have to receive the gift. We have to welcome the gift. In fact, my sister, we were preparing for Christmas, looking forward to the coming, the arrival of this gift. Depending on how you prepare for that, you will get the fruits. Your eyes have only to look to see how the wicked are repaid. You who have said, Lord, my refuge, and have made the Most High your dwelling. Upon you no evil shall fall. No plague approach where you dwell. For you has He commanded His angels to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear with you, or rather they shall bear you upon their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. On the lion and the viper you will tread, and trample the young lion and the dragon. This is the gift that God gives us. We should not, you know, like have a contraceptive mentality. We shouldn't have had this baby. We shouldn't have this problem of having to take care of a baby. This is the solution. He is the solution of our selfishness. Because we have to go out to Him. We have to forget ourselves to take care of Him, to defend Him, to carry Him, to nurse Him, to dress Him, to clothe Him. Oh, how, if you just knew the gift of God. And this woman, the Samaritan woman, our Lord had said, if you knew who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. We have just been after earthly creatures. Not bad. But we have treated them as like God. We have looked into them. We have demanded from them what only the divine can give. So we're in for frustration. We're in for impatience, disappointment, discouragement. If we bank on pleasure as a, you know, it's a concomitant to natural functions of the body, like eating. But we look for that pleasure so much instead of looking for in that pleasure for what only God can give. We will just be frustrated. In fact, we will be reenacting what Jesus was trying to explain to that woman of Samaria. Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. And the woman said, and I join her, saying, Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. I want this divine life that you give me, dear Jesus. And it starts by dealing with the child Jesus. So there you have it, my sister, the gift. Let us receive Him. Let us celebrate His arrival, His coming into our souls. When you received communion last night or yesterday late afternoon in the vigil mass and the rest of the communions we'll be having. He is the solution. Our sisters, well, they will always give us maybe some motive for critical spirit. Because we're like that. We have limitations. We forget. We get disappointed. We all are weak. So we shouldn't put our everything in them. We should work together, etc. Expect maybe these causes of disappointments, and we're ready for them. Because we know how to forgive, we know how to be patient, we know how to be encouraging, because we have prayed about it. We are prepared, just like soldiers prepare by their training programs. these commando units, no, when they go for an attack or a mission, so they duplicate whatever they have there, no, like the one the raid at Entebbe, no. So they put up a plane, no, a mock plane, passengers, seats, then the same model as that real plane where the hostages were. And they worked on it. The exits, the length of the plane, number of seats, number of passengers, how many people, soldiers we distributed for the assault. They practice. So when they're there, well, it will be much easier because they have been there already. And we can do this in our prayer life. We have to be praying about this opportunities of disappointments. No, we have reenacted past experiences so that I should have prayed more, I should have done this better, I should have mortified myself first, and since I did not, this thing happened, and just a steep slope. Sir, give me this water. Get my attention, dear Jesus. Not to snap out of my sensibilities, no, my sensitivities. I get so sensitive in the wrong place. So I get so sensitive that I get very critical, or I there's like a wall between me and a sister or the others when there shouldn't be. We shouldn't put our sensitivity there. We should put our sensitivities in other places. Detecting the needs of my sisters. There, you put it there. Detecting how, no, my sisters look, and therefore be concerned with them. Not just because they look sick. But you look at their face, like the cold water. No? I mentioned the cold water, and then last night in my center, they produced cold water. Wow, no? And all the, I don't know why it tastes different. No? I already consumed this little jar that you gave me earlier, no? Because of the cold water. No? They like it. So I'm not going to do other things. If I can give cold water, I'll give it. I look for it for them. No? They like it. So you put your sensitivity there. Other places, be callous. Mosquitoes in my skin, well, I wouldn't bother about that, you know. But my sister is having some discomfort, you know, and I said, no, I don't know, has a need for this, and I'm attentive. Troubles. The devil likes to trouble people who he cannot get to commit sin. So he will trouble you. Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come back. Jesus changed the topic. You want this water. You want me as your gift. You're accepting me as your gift. Well, this should change you. Just like what fathers tell me, dads, no, husbands of, yeah, parents of Paref in Springdale years ago. They joke. And a number of them would joke, no? If I see your father, maybe usok ito siya sa dunggan niya. He will produce smoke. They joke a lot. Well, this is ordinary fare. What do you have? Sins. Okay, that's forgiven. That's it. you're not here on a beauty pageant. Huh? Right? So go call your husband and come back. The woman answered, I have no husband. So Jesus said to her, you are right in saying, I have no husband. You have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true. So you have to change your life, you know. Receiving this gift cannot be, the same. God, you have received a gift. So this should spell out a certain difference in your life. Has the baby Jesus, have you let the baby Jesus change you? Like what Don Alvaro, I think Don Alvaro was the one who received that story of Father John, Father Angelicchio, and his first numerary priest of Italy, because he was parish priest there in that project there in the north of in Eur, Elis, Centro Elis. And he was giving communion during these Christmas days. And there was this woman who had a baby in her arms when she came for communion. And the baby was so, he was moving a lot. He was reaching out, trying to touch everything, climbed on top of her or what. So she, as she approached the received communion, she squeezed the baby even more so as to immobilize the baby. And she received communion, etc. But the father made use of it. Do we let the baby Jesus, take out from your hearts what he wants removed? We have to let the baby spell that difference in our lives. Consequences in our lifestyle should be a sin. Receiving him means that, so that he equips us for the life, for our lives, having a priestly soul. We cannot go on the same. And one of the things that we have to learn from the baby Jesus and the Holy Family is poverty. No accommodations, no welcome befitting a king, the King of Kings. Only shepherds and wise men of the East came. Yes, they did not have many things. They did not even see the results of the supposed King of Kings. His effects on the nation of Israel. In fact, it was the opposite. They had to flee. They had to go to Egypt. So that certain poverty, not only in financial terms, which reminds me, I received a call last night from somebody in Manila because he checked the Opus Dei website. And the first name there, I don't know who, I'm not familiar with this, what website he checked, but it said there, Banilad. So he asked me about that Banilad. So the only Banilad I know is Banilad Study Center. He's a golfer, and so with his buddies of golf, they raised money. And they asked me how to pass it to you. I tried to convince him that he gives it to the wind. But it would be hard, Father, because I already told them it's Banilad. Okay, so I will tell you today I will just give you his email address, which he sent to me. It make it easier. You straight to him. Anyway, so we end this prayer. And we will go to the solemn benediction. Conscious of this gift, let us not waste this gift. Let us use this gift. It should mean something for us, a change in our lifestyle, that we forget ourselves, so that only Jesus, like Mary and Joseph were thinking that first night, only Jesus.